I want to try to help somebody here tonight, and I want to try to put living for God in its proper perspective. That is my goal, and that is what I feel like the Lord really called me to do in my ministry, and the Lord has blessed, and I'm thankful for His blessing tonight, thankful for the good things of God. Amen. And sometimes in living for the Lord, well, actually, Jesus said, all those that will live righteously shall suffer persecution. He said, in this world you will have tribulation. That's trouble. There's going to be troubles in this life, and it's a part of this life. And you say, why did He do it that way? He made us subject to vanity. Amen. And the reason is because this is not heaven. This is the proving ground. Let me say that again. This is the proving ground. This is like the Christmas play that we're getting ready to have. If there was a big curtain here, and they pulled the curtain as the play began, what we're doing is behind the scenes right now in our lives. We're behind the curtain, and what takes place, what's going to take place when the curtain pulls back, eternity's going to begin. Amen. And what we do behind the curtain is what's important. Amen. This is not heaven. Don't look for it to be heaven, because it never will be. Amen. But in the midst of this trial and tribulation time, in the midst of these days, as the Bible says, the evil days, amen, we can have a move of God, and God is with us. He is our Emmanuel, God with us. So He didn't put us in this situation. The Bible says we are as counted as sheep for the slaughter. We are as sheep among wolves. And you say, how can we survive? God is with us. God is with us. And there is a plan and there is a purpose. And even in the midst of trial and tribulation, there is a move of God. Amen. There is a move of God. Acts chapter 8, verse 5. And I would just like to encourage us here tonight that when we come to the house of God, let's come to just pray through to the Holy Ghost all over again. Amen. Church is not just about going through a program and then going home. Amen. But you're going to need the Holy Ghost this week. You're going to need the victory this week. Praise the Lord. And it's a tremendous opportunity to pray through. And if you're having a difficult time, just tell somebody, pray with me, that I'll pray through again to the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. I believe it. I believe it. I really do. And I practice it as much as I can in my life. Acts 8, verse 5. Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. And there was great joy in that city. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? Amen. Give us a revival, Lord. Give us a revival among the Samaritans. Amen. Jesus never said there was a man, a Jewish man, walking down the road to Jericho. He said there was a Samaritan that was going down the road to Jericho. He said in the days of the prophet, he said there were many lepers in Israel, but none were healed except Naaman the Syrian. He made a point to say, amen, that faith sometimes is not found in the house of God, but it is found out in the streets. It's found among the half-breeds. It's found among the Gentiles, those dogs. Amen. That's where faith is found. But I want to say tonight, there can be tremendous faith in the house of God. And when our Messiah comes into this temple, amen, we don't want to become so angry that when we leave the house of God, we conspire to get rid of Him out of our lives. That's what they did. We can't afford to do that, folks. Amen. He's here tonight, and how we receive him is all important. I want to talk about revival, and I want to put it in perspective here tonight so that we can see it. And let's go, we're already there in Acts chapter 8. Let's go down to verse 26, and then we're going to pray and preach. Amen. Verse 26, "And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip." This is after what we just read. "The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert." Which is desert. "Leaving a mighty revival where the whole city of Samaria received the word of God, and it was the will of God for him to leave there and go down into the desert." Amen. Folks, we can't put God in a box. We can't say this is the way it's supposed to be and this is the results that's going to take place. Amen. One waters, one sows, one waters, but God gives the increase. Amen. Let's pray together tonight and ask for the help of the Lord. Father, we thank you right now for the truth. We thank you for the word of God. We ask you to anoint it to every heart tonight and speak to us, lift us up out of our troubles, out of our tribulations and trials, to see the mighty revival that you have for us. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. Praise God. You know, sometimes we get an idea in our head and it's hard to get it out. Has anybody ever been there? Two or three of you. Amen. And the idea that revival only comes one way is a myth. Because I believe tonight God cannot be put into a box. Amen. He moves in so many ways, and his ways, as Scripture says, are past finding out. Amen. Our calling, if you please, as the children of the Lord, is to seek him and to find out what he is doing and get in with the program. Praise God. God is not an enhancement to our life. He is the master of our life. Well, praise the Lord. He's not the one that we go to only when we run into our problems. Amen. But he is the one that we are to seek. And if we will, oh God, we don't even realize all of the problems he has saved us from. Praise God. Amen. And when we walk with the Lord and when we walk in the Spirit, amen, there are things that are waiting for us that I don't believe that we can understand and get the full ramifications of. When we talk with the Lord and we walk with him, amen, he speaks to us. He'll speak to one individual and he will say, "This is what I want you to do. Not anybody else. This is what I want you to do." And he will speak to a Noah in a time when the whole world is corrupt and nobody wants to hear the word of God. Everything is going down and there is no way to reverse the situation. It is absolutely a hopeless situation, and God will speak to one man and say, "I want you to do this." Amen. And he will just speak to that one and say, "This is the will of God right now for your life." Amen. Noah was completely alone in a world of sin, in a world of violence, and yet God had a revival prepared for him if he would simply do what God asked him to do at that point in time. Amen. If he would just simply do today what the Lord wants me to do. And don't tell me that God gave him the entire blueprint of that ship in one moment. He gave him the general overview of it. But I believe that there were times, and if you've done any construction work, you'll find that you'll get into a box and you'll say, "Now how are we going to fix this? Or how are we going to do this and make it work and make it make it to be solid and have some integrity to it. And sometimes you have to stop and you have to meditate on it. You have to think about it. You've got to ask questions to those that know a little bit about the subject until you come up with a plan, and then you go with your plan. I believe there were times it was that way with Noah, and Noah walked with God, so he knew what it was like just to say, God, what's in it for today? Amen. What's the plan today, God? What is your will for my life today, Lord? What is the direction that you have for me? Amen. In the midst of a nation that was in slavery and a decree that all the male children were to be killed, it seemed like a hopeless situation, a spiritual desert, if you please, nothing but idols all around. And yet there was only two in an entire nation of several million that said, we're not going to follow this. We're not going to obey this commandment because this is not the commandment of God and it is against what God wants us to do. Lord, what do you want me to do today? I want you to build a little boat and put that boy in it. Amen, and shove it out into the river and turn it over to me and let me produce the results that I want to produce from your efforts. Well, praise the Lord. Didn't seem like much and it didn't seem very hopeful. There was not really any guarantee that this was going to work. There was nothing written down that said a mighty, mighty deliverance and a mighty revival is going to come out of this. There was no promise that if they did that very same day, there would be a deliverer that would rise up. And in fact, it was some 40 plus years, probably more close to 60 plus years into the future, that the deliverance would actually come and God would show his power and his might and a great revival would break out. Amen. We get a concept sometimes that we must have instant results from our efforts and that what we do, if there is no results, it is wasted time and wasted effort. Amen. We get that feeling. We get that mindset sometimes, and it's very difficult for us to get that out of our mind. I'm going to try to get it out of our mind here tonight. Amen, because we do not need to be weary in well-doing, for we shall reap if we faint not. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Amen. And what we are sowing in the Word of God and what we are doing by living for God is not in vain. It is not going to produce no results. Amen. But it will produce, the Word of God will produce. It is the seed, it is the good seed that when it is planted, it will produce a harvest. Amen. And Moses' parents went the second mile by faith, and they believed God by faith. When all around them was a desert of unbelief, when all around them there was nothing that said there is a move of God, nothing that even said there is God. Amen. Because there's no recorded miracles during the 400 years. No recording of any prophets that prophesied. Very much like from Malachi to Matthew, the 400 years of silence where there was no prophet and there was no one to say the Messiah is coming soon, get ready for him. It wasn't until John the Baptist stepped onto the scene that they actually heard that message. But what are we going to do in the 400 years of silence, so to speak? What are we going to do in the 400 years of slavery to a nation that does not believe in our God, that does not know our God, that is not concerned about our future, and we are controlled, and we have developed the mindset of slavery? Amen. It can seem very hopeless at times. It can seem like your walking with God is hopeless at times. But I'm here to preach to somebody tonight. Amen. There is a heritage of miracles in our past. Amen. Just read Hebrews chapter 11. Amen. About the chapter of faith and about those that have gone on before us. Amen. They believed God when they shouldn't have believed God. Amen. They believed God when everything around them said, don't believe God. Amen. They're an example to us to walk with God and to believe God for a mighty outpouring of His Spirit in our personal life. And I read to you tonight from Acts chapter 8, Philip the evangelist, amen, went down to the city of Samaria. Oh my, it's wonderful when things are going good and when everything is happening and it's just a popping along like you want it to happen. Isn't that so true that we're happy when it's happening the way we want it to happen? But when it's not happening the way we want it to happen, then we get unhappy. And we get discouraged and we get distressed and all of that. Maybe we ought to meditate on that tonight a little bit and get a hold of that that concept there that everything revolves around me and everything that I believe is good and everything that I believe is bad because everything that is around me that is bad is not necessarily bad. And God is going to use it for His glory if we will trust in Him. That's the Word of God tonight. Amen. Amen. The Bible tells us that that we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Why does it say that? Because there are times that things will happen when you don't think it's good, but on the other side of the curtain, so to speak, God's saying, this is good, and this is going to produce some good in your life. Well, that went over like a lead balloon right there. But it's still the truth tonight. And Philip was preaching. He went down to Samaria. And if we want to know who this Philip is, we can go, I believe it is, to the book of Acts chapter 6, and you don't have to turn there tonight, but Philip was one of the men that was appointed to wait on tables. He was one of those that that was appointed full of the Holy Ghost to go down and to wait on the elderly, on the tables. The ministry, Paul and Peter but the apostles, the original apostles before the apostle Paul, they said it is not good for us to wait on tables because we must get our minds and our heart into the Word of God and minister the Word of God. We really don't sometimes realize the value of the ministry of the Word of God. I know that you do. I know that you feel strongly about this here tonight. We love preaching here at New Life Tabernacle, and we love it when a special evangelist come and preach the Word of God to us. Amen. And we see the value of the Word of God. But there are some that don't see the value of the Word of God, and they fall short. Amen. We need the Word of God tonight. We need preaching. Amen. He didn't send an angel down here to Samaria, but He sent this man. And in fact, there was a preparation. Keep your finger there in the book of Acts and go with me to the book of John chapter 4. And starting with verse 1, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, reading the whole chapter. there was a woman. Let's start with verse 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with His journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And so He begins to minister to this woman, a woman of Samaria. Amen. That's where Philip went down to and preached Christ. But that had not happened yet. And so the woman begins to converse with our Lord. And He tells her whole life story. And she said down to verse 25, the woman said unto Him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Amen. And then upon this came the disciples. And the disciples marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, what seekest thou? Or why talkest thou to her? And so the woman left her water pot and went into the city. Verse 27 there, they marveled that he talked to this woman. Amen. Really? Question mark. Seriously? Question mark. Amen. We was doing some traveling and we came across a sign. I forget where it was, what state it was. And it said, not wearing your seatbelts? Seriously? Question mark. And that was the whole sign. Amen. Here are the disciples, and they're following the Messiah. They're following the Savior of the world, and he stops to talk to a woman, and they're scratching their head saying, why is he talking to her? You guys can't be serious, can you? You can't be dividing humanity up and saying these are worthy and these are not worthy. And why are you talking to this person? And why are you ministering to this lady? We've got multitudes to preach to. We've got 5,000 men that are hungry, not including the women and the children. We've got a mighty revival. Amen. I was with another preacher here a while back, and I won't say where it was, but he was, I just got the feeling that everything's got to be big and grandiose and fantastic all the time. And made the comment, I've seen 500,000 receive the Holy Ghost. And I'm not into Bible studies because you're going to spend all of your time on one person and then they're not going to follow through and you've wasted all that time. I'm into following the Holy Ghost and letting God save thousands at a time. Amen. Well, this is an evangelist. It's not a pastor. Amen. One lives in one realm and another lives in another realm. And we need them all. I'm not putting the evangelist down tonight. We need to be inspired. Amen. But I'm asking you today, the Lord of glory could have went to certain places and had massive moves of God. Amen. Where tens of thousands, probably 20,000 or more at a time, and the Bible says he healed every single one of them. We get it in our minds sometimes that is the full essence of revival. And that if that's not happening, we're not having revival. Amen. That if we're not seeing that kind of response or that kind of result, amen, that we are falling short of the evangelist. Amen. That somehow or another, we have not measured up. Sometimes the conferences that we go to leave us those feelings, and great stories are told, and mighty revivals are happening next door. But in my house, it's not happening that way. In my life, I'm not seeing those kinds of results in my life. I would just like to say that is what you could call the desert. Amen. That's what you could call the time that God wants to use you in the desert. Amen. That God wants to speak to you to reach one person in the desert. Amen. One and no more than one. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. I want to try to help somebody here tonight. We can get the idea of the apostles and the attitude of the apostles. And we can say, if it ain't happening big, then it ain't happening. And it's going to happen in Judea. It's going to happen in Jerusalem. It's going to happen in these areas. But X out Samaria. Amen. Just forget about Samaria because that's the half-breeds. Those are the Gentiles and the Jews that have mixed. And they're not worth our time. They're not worth our effort. especially one woman who's had four husbands, and the one she's with now is not her husband. Amen. A woman that had a life of failure, a woman that did not measure up in society. It was the very one that Jesus came to and spoke to. I'm telling you tonight, folks, we cannot afford to put God in a box. Amen. We cannot afford to say this is how it's got to be and this is how it works. Amen. There's one doctor somewhere that God wants to speak to. There's one lady that God wants to speak to. There's one man that God wants to reach out to. And the results are up to God. They're not up to me and they're not up to you. Our job, if I could call it that tonight, is to be sensitive to God and to hear from God and to obey God. You just don't know the person that's in line with you at the grocery store. You just don't know the individual, that new person on the job. You just don't know what the young person at school that's sitting beside you in the desk. Amen. You don't know what they're going through at home and the desire that they have in their heart of hearts. They would never say it because they would be ridiculed. They feel like a failure. They feel like they are nothing. But I'm here to tell you, they might just be that evangelist that reaches 500,000. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, folks, God takes little things and He makes big things out of them. And we've got to have our minds made up that we're just going to do the will of God. I want to kind of bring this out. I want to try to flesh this out a little bit here tonight. And I'm not going to preach a long time, and it's still early. Amen. Philip the evangelist went down, and everything was just going great. It seemed like he was riding on a spiritual cloud. And that's a wonderful place to be. I've been there, and I'm planning on being there again at some point, and it's God's will. I pray that God will give that to me. I remember the church that we pastored in New Bedford. We pushed and pushed and pushed. We had troubles and problems, and won't go into all of that. And yet we were pushing and praying and pushing and praying and teaching Bible studies. And all of a sudden when the door opened up and salvation began to come, I'm telling you what, friend, you couldn't have stopped it if you tried. That's how it works. People started praying through to the Holy Ghost. Family started coming into the kingdom of God. And it was just so very, very exciting. It's like riding a wave. Amen. It's just like riding a wave. But if you're not on the wave tonight, don't worry about it. That's not the only place where God moves. God doesn't just move on the wave. Amen. Yes, it is His will that none should perish. But I'm telling you what, everybody in the world perished but 8 people, and they were right smack in the middle of the will of God. What are you doing putting that board in place and nailing it in? I'm doing the will of God. Amen. Well, there's no great revival and no great results. Hey, that's not up to me. I'm just following the plan and doing the will of God. today, and he was riding the wave, and then in Acts chapter 8, I'm still there, and I hope you've kept your finger there, and in verse 12, it gives us some information here. But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. And Simon himself believed and was baptized, and he continued with Philip and wondered, beholding the miracles and signs which were done. Miracles and signs. Praise God. That's what we pray for. But oftentimes when we pray for it, it doesn't happen. And you say, why? I'll tell you why. Because it's not God's plan for that moment in time. And we can't make God do something that He's not ready to do yet. Well, praise the Lord. We cannot manipulate God. Amen. I know the Bible says whatever you ask, you're going to receive, but he didn't say when, and he didn't give us a time frame. Praise God. But he said to ask and to seek. But if it doesn't come instantly, if you're praying for something tonight and it hasn't come instantly, I'm just telling you tonight, God wants to move in a desert situation. God has a different plan than what you have. God's got a different idea about the right way to go than what you or I have. And it's our job, if you please, to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost and to love God in every situation. And live for God in every situation. Amen. And when the apostles which were at Jerusalem, this is verse 14, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. They didn't even know if they were going to get the Holy Ghost. And here he is riding the wave, and word gets to headquarters. And the big guns are called out. The big guys are called out. Get on down there and pray them through. There's an open door in Samaria. Oh, and they made their journey down to Samaria. Philip appraised them of the situation, and they started laying hands on people. Amen. They laid their hands on them, and they got the Holy Ghost. He got the Holy Ghost. And I'm telling you what, after a while, they were feeling super spiritual. And it just, it, all they had to do, they probably tried it, touch him with a pinky. Got the Holy Ghost. Got the Holy Ghost. Amen. And who knows what miracles and signs and all of that was done by the hand of the apostles. Amen. The whole entire city was baptized. The whole entire city received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen, Pastor. Amen. But I'm not riding the wave tonight. I'm not coasting, you know, hanging 10, praise God, and going down. Woo! Big old wave, and I'm just slipping right out from underneath it. There's a move of God taking place in my life. This is the way it's supposed to be, and you can leave that and begin to tell everybody else, well, this is how you have revival, bless God, and this is what you need to do, bless God. And before you know it, you've got a concept of living for God that's not necessarily the way God has it for you. I praise God for mighty revivals. There's a mighty revival taking place right now in Madagascar. There is a revival, an undercurrent of revival that is beginning in the country of Iran. You say Iran? Yes, Iran. I've been reading about it. And there are many that are disenfranchised with the Muslim faith. They're tired of all the killing and the destruction. Amen. And one young lady said when she gave her life to God, she had a vision and she saw Jesus Christ. I've heard that so many, many times in the Muslim world. They're so far in darkness that just a message of repentance and salvation in Jesus Christ is a tremendously bright light. I'm praying that God will take care of our world's problems with revival. Praise the Lord. That's what I'm praying for. Amen. And it's just like God to come in when everything seems hopeless and just break out and everybody says, wow, where did that come from? And God just sits there with a smile. That was me, boys. It wasn't our program. Amen. It wasn't our planning. It wasn't our organization. It wasn't what we were doing. Oh, no, we were just following the Holy Ghost, and many of these revivals were born out of one particular situation, amen, where one individual was reached, and that key individual began to tell others, and a mighty revival began to sweep. You know what I'm praying? And I've been praying this. Sister Reed, you need to hear this. I've been praying that God will give us a revelation of the oneness of God in our area. that the truth of the oneness of God will begin to burn brightly, and somebody will get a hold of it and begin to share it with others. Well, praise God. That's what I'm praying for. And I'm believing that God's with us on that. Amen. And I pray that that is the will of God. I know that it is the will of God. Amen. And so they came down. They were praying them through right and left. Amen. All of these half-breeds are getting the Holy Ghost. Amen. And great things begin to happen. Praise the Lord. But I also recognize tonight in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. This isn't a saint. This isn't a man or a woman, an ordinary person. No, this was Jesus Christ. He got baptized. Everybody said he got baptized. Did he need to get baptized? He didn't need to get baptized. But he said, to fulfill all righteousness, let it be so. And he was baptized. And he came out of the water, and a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And the Spirit descended upon him. He was riding a wave. And as soon as he left that experience, the Spirit of God, the Father that was in him, said, son, I need you to come with me. We've got a place. We've got somewhere to go. And he led him out into the wilderness. I've been through the wilderness there south of Jerusalem, down by the Dead Sea, where John the Baptist came from, out of the wilderness, preaching. And folks, I'm telling you, it's dry, it's desert, it's rock, it's hills and rock. There's hardly any vegetation anywhere that I could see. And when you got close to the Dead Sea, you could smell it miles away. You could smell the brine in the air. He was led into the wilderness, fasting 40 days and 40 nights. Amen. That's a long time. That's hunger. That's pain. Amen. And he's praying and he's fasting and he's seeking God. And he's ready for a great move of God. He's ready for great things to begin to happen. But I'm just trying to impress upon us tonight, God knows exactly what we need. And he came from that position to being tempted by the devil. The Bible says he was led to the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And so it was for that purpose. Why? Why did he need to be tempted? Well, first of all, the Bible says that God does not tempt any man and that God cannot be tempted by evil. He cannot be tempted because there is no evil in him to tempt him with. There is no lust in him to tempt him with. There is no pride in him to be tempted with. God is pure and holy in every manner and aspect. And so it is absolutely impossible for God to be tempted by evil. But the Bible says that Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. And so there was of necessity here that he be tempted by the devil. Now let's go back to Philip. I just wanted to give you that there. Let's go back to Philip in verse 26. He's in revival. Great things are happening. And all of a sudden, an angel appears to him. Praise God. Man, he's still riding the wave. Boy, things are getting ready to go higher. Things are getting ready to get better. Man, Samaria, now what it's going to be? It's going to be Hong Kong or Beijing or... We're heading for the big guns now. We're gonna have a worldwide revival. In fact, Philip probably thought, I'm gonna name my ministry. I'm gonna get me a government certificate, and I'm gonna call it Philip Ministries. A lot of them do that today, and we're gonna have a worldwide ministry, and we're gonna do this, and we're gonna do that. Well, an angel appears to him. He doesn't give him any kind of instructions like that. Amen. He says, let's look at it, verse 26. He spake unto Philip, saying, Arise, go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went. And there was one man, a man of Ethiopia, and a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. He didn't know who it was. He had no understanding of this individual in the chariot, but the Spirit said, go over here and join yourself with this man. Praise God. I hope we're all with us here tonight. That's our job, church. That's the call of the church right there, is when the Lord says, go over there and join yourself with that person. He didn't walk up with a big Bible under his arm and say, I'm here to preach the gospel to you. An angel just told me to come over here. He just went over to the chariot and saw the man reading his Bible and reading the Word of God. And he simply said, do you understand what you're reading? Very simple message. Amen. Just like when Jesus went to the well, the woman of Samaria, he asked her, he said, woman, would you give me something to drink? Started out the conversation so innocently. Amen. But there was a call. God was calling. And folks, I don't know if you've ever experienced this before, but when you begin to get near to someone and you feel the Holy Ghost, I'm telling you, you're feeling the Holy Ghost because God is telling you, draw near to this person. Go over there and engage in a conversation with this individual. And I'll let it all unfold. You don't have to be a magnificent salesman. Amen. Somebody said that about Bible studies. Well, I can't do that because I'm not a salesman. And I'm telling you tonight, you don't need to be a salesperson. You don't have to have all the right words to say and the cute phrases and jokes and whatever else. Amen. You don't need to have that. All you need to do is follow the Spirit of God. Well, praise the Lord. And just do what God has said to do. Maybe I've lost us here tonight. But what does it mean to walk in the Spirit? If we live in the Spirit, if we walk in the Spirit, let's live in the Spirit. Or vice versa, it really doesn't matter. I'm telling you, what we need is a move of God in our life. What we need is to learn how to be sensitive to the voice of the Lord. Go join yourself to that chariot over there. Do you understand what you're reading, sir? And he lifted up his head and said, well, how can I except somebody tell me? What are you reading? And he read the scripture in Isaiah where he was led to the slaughter. He read in the book of Isaiah some scripture. And he said, sir, he said, who is he talking about? Is he talking about himself or is he talking about somebody else? And then he began to expound unto him Jesus Christ and in simple terms told that Ethiopian eunuch, you must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Probably said, you know what, I just came from Samaria and the whole city was baptized in Jesus' name. My friend, you need to be baptized in Jesus' name. And as they're going down the road and the dust is covering the Bible, and you know how it is on dirt roads, the dust just comes up and it gets everywhere. It covers your car. You clean your car and you drive home and your car is dirty. At least it's not quite as dirty as when you washed it. Amen. And they're going down. It's not there's no glass around there. It's an open chariot. And the horses are in front of them. And the dust from the horses' hoofs are coming up. And all of a sudden there's a pool of water. And this one man, he didn't know who he was at the time. Simply said, why, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And one man went down in Jesus' name. Praise God. One lady, just recently, last Sunday night, baptized in Jesus' name. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Sunday night, Sunday morning, whatever. Don't expect me to remember everything at my age. Praise God. Anyway, Walita got baptized and got the Holy Ghost, come out of the water. I don't think I've ever seen it that way before. Her lips came to the surface of the water, and as soon as her mouth cleared the water, she said, "Thank you, Jesus, woo!" Over and over and over again. You say, well, that's just one lady. Hey, I'm telling you what, Jesus died for that one lady. And who knows what God is going to do in that one life right there. Amen. Folks, we are not here tonight to measure revival. The Bible says not to measure ourselves among ourselves, because when we do that, we are not wise. Amen. God has an eternal purpose. God has an eternal plan for us, for you in your personal life. Amen. Don't feel discouraged tonight if you're being tempted by the devil. If that's your time in life, amen. Just stand strong and just keep quoting the Word of God. Amen. Just keep quoting the Word of God, and before you know it, the devil's going to flee, and you're going to have a victory that you've never experienced before. Praise God. Right in the middle of the desert, one man was baptized in Jesus' name. Then, let's look at it here. The Bible says, but verse 39, and when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. The Lord didn't even give him the opportunity to get hooked up to a good church. Oh, you live in Tulsa? We're going to hook you up with a good church. He baptized him as soon as he cleared water. He's gone. And the Ethiopian eunuch standing there by himself. No one to disciple him. No one to tell him how to live for God now. Nobody to encourage him. He's gone. And where do we find him? Let's look at it. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Azotus was approximately 40 to 50 miles. What a ride. Amen. What a ride. 40 or 50 miles. He was caught up. I don't know if he was cognizant of what was going on. I don't know if it was like a riding on a jet engine for 40 or 50 miles, making a high loop, coming on down and landing in Azotus. And when he landed, brother, I'm telling you know what he did. He started preaching. You cannot believe the things that have happened in the last few days, but it doesn't tell us here that anybody in Azotus got saved. It does not record that one person got a hold of God. And then it says that from there, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Caesarea was an additional 60 miles. Amen. Well, if God could translate him 50, why couldn't he just translate him another 60? Amen. But he let him walk and preach, and not a bit of results is recorded in the Word of God. Amen. I guess what I'm trying to say tonight is that if we will follow God, we will have revival in our personal life. There's no other way to do it. Amen. There's no other way. And then the next recorded place where Philip is recorded is in Acts 21 and verse 8. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea, and we entered into the house of Philip the evangelist, which was one of the seven, that would be the ones that waited on tables, and abode with him. Praise God. The guy that waited on tables, and now here we are approximately, and this is my estimation. It took Paul 15 years from his conversion to his beginning of his journeys with the Lord. And if it was that amount of time, it was at least 15 years from the time. I don't know exactly the schedule here, but somewhere around 15 or 20 years has transpired. And where do we find Philip? in Caesarea, in his house, waiting on tables. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. I hope you're getting this here tonight. He's in Caesarea, living in the same house. How long you been living here? 20 years. What kind of revival you having? Well, let me tell you what's happened in the past. Let me tell you what's going on right now. Amen. Ethel's getting sicker. I've been waiting on her. She hadn't eaten her breakfast as good as she used to. She got fitted for some false teeth the other day. I'm not making fun of the elderly, but you know what I'm talking about. Here's a young man in the prime of his life, had a mighty revival, a move of God in his life. Everything is going great. And where's the will of God now? Waiting on tables. Amen. Amen. Getting a spoonful of cereal. Come on, Ethel. You can do it, honey. There you go, sweetheart. God bless you. I love you. Here's old George. Uncle Joe. Uncle Joe. You had to been at Brother Johnson's anniversary to know what I'm talking about. They had a skit about Uncle Joe. Uncle Joe. Come on, Uncle Joe. You can do it. Good job, buddy. Good job. I knew you could do it. Amen. That's where he was reduced to. And I say reduced, that's not really accurate. He was doing the will of God. Somebody said amen. Amen. Well, Pastor, I want, and I've been praying, and God hasn't answered my prayer. That's the problem right there. You're measuring your success. Rather than letting God measure your success by simply telling you what he wants you to do and leading you in your life. I think that's where Paul came to the place where he said, in whatsoever state I am in, I have learned to be content. Amen. Can we stand together tonight? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I just want to be a vessel used of God. And if we can walk in the Spirit, don't worry about the things that are in front of you right now. Just worry about doing God's will today. Amen. Amen. If you're in difficulty, seek for counseling. Amen. We're here to help you, to talk to you, encourage you, give you some direction, hopefully. But when it all comes down to it, there's only one that knows the right way to go. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Deontay, I'm not going to go into details tonight. But it just might be the will of God that there's somebody on that new job that needs God. You ever considered that? Amen. I just now thought of that. Amen. God's purposes are higher than our purposes. God's will is higher than our will. And if we'll learn to walk in the Holy Ghost and just be sensitive every day, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Why? Because the steps of a good man are ordered of God. Amen. God's getting ready to lead me today, through this day. And there's some people that I'm going to meet. There's some people that I'm going to talk to. Praise God. There's some situations that are going to arise that I have no concept of right now. Amen. But God knows. And God's going to be there. God's going to be in our everyday. And if we'll just follow him and walk with him and remember the call of God is souls. Come on, somebody. Amen. The call of God is souls. We must reach out for souls. Amen. I've been teaching Bible studies with no real results, so to speak. But we've already had a couple of Bible studies where some of the folks just broke down and began to weep. I just need God. I just need to know God. I want God's will for my life. Amen. And you say, well, let's make it happen. Listen, friend, you cannot make a child be born. And if you do, you're going to have trouble and problems, physical problems. But what we need is for it to happen naturally. Amen. For the Spirit of the Lord and the Word of God and a good friend to help them, amen, to minister to them, it will happen, and there will be revival in their life. and revival in your life. I've got a feeling tonight that that one Ethiopian eunuch was just as important to God as the city of Samaria was. With God, it's not about numbers. It's not about numbers with God. Amen. Because many are going to go through the gate to destruction, but few are going to find the truth. The Bible says he has great patience and he's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. I've got a feeling that the Lord walks through the vineyard and there's piles and piles of grapes on the vines. And he walks down through there and he looks them over and then he walks and then he picks one. And then he looks. And he may make it through the whole day without one single one. Ah, there's one right there. The precious, the quality, the good, that which is of faith. And he walks down another row, and there's one right there. Oh, yes, this is going to be good. The precious fruit of the earth. He's not in a hurry. The Bible says he has great patience for the fruit of the earth. It doesn't matter to God 20 years, 50 years, 400 years. He's waiting for things to work out the way he wants them to work out. Let's not be impatient, but let's wait on God and let's do the will of God every day. Can we just lift our hands and thank him this evening? I love you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for your presence tonight. Thank you for picking me off of the vine. Thank you, Lord, for touching my life. Help me, Lord. If it's just one person that I can reach, let me reach that one person. Lord, whatever your will is for my life, if it's waiting on tables, if it's just waiting on the elderly, if it's just having a nursing home service, Lord, I know that it's your plan, your will. Do your work, Lord. Help us. Help us today. Touch us today in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name.